Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." These are tremendous promises. We come back to John 10:10 again and again. "I've come that they might have life, they might have it abundantly." But sometimes what we miss is the fact that all the promises of the New Testament, including these here, are finally in the context of the community of faith. It's like Melanie was singing, "I'm not alone anymore." God does not intend for us to be alone. How important is the church? We're to live and to move and to have our being in the church, the fellowship. As independent-minded as most of us are, and as much as our culture drums into us that we have to do our own thing and be ourselves, we often seek to claim all these promises of God just for our own felt personal needs. We think about how this promise or this particular place where I worship will meet my needs. We think in terms, when we go to church or when we read the Bible, of what does this do for me? And that's not entirely bad. But this favorite verse about abundant life is in the context of belonging to the fold and following the shepherd. And if we have life in Jesus and have it to the full, we'll find our life in the context of the fellowship of God's people. But what do we know for certain about the true church? We could go on and on and on and on and never exhaust this, but let me just say a few things about the church tonight. Number one, Jesus is the church. That is, Jesus in me and Jesus in you is the church. Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body. And if there's no Jesus, there's no church. If Jesus is absent, Jesus is the life of the church, and where Jesus is in two or three of us together, there is the church. Jesus is the vine. The church is only present where Jesus is present. But I want you to turn that thought around tonight, and in this world, the opposite is true. Where the church is not, Jesus is not. Where Jesus is the church. But where the church is, that's you, that's me, with Jesus in us, that's where Jesus is. Jesus is only present where his church is present. And there's no such thing, really, as being a Christian, as being in Christ, and not belonging to his body, the church. Jesus is the total purpose of the total church. I've said a lot when I said that tonight. Jesus is the only reason for us to follow him. The church, we Christians, exist for one reason only, to be Christ's body in this world. And so, representing Jesus is the total task of the total church. When we hear about proclamation, about preaching, or speaking the gospel, we tend to think about what I'm trying to do tonight. Somebody standing behind a pulpit and saying words about the scripture, and that's proclaiming Jesus. And I'd certainly hope that the pulpit exalts and lifts up Jesus. But really, the pulpit exists primarily to equip, to build up, to prepare the total church to proclaim the majesty and the grace and the love and the wonder and the goodness of the Jesus that lives in you and the Jesus that lives in me. I know in my generation, we've generally seen people come to the church or come to the Lord at an altar in the church. But that hasn't been God's plan down across the ages totally. I hope we continue to see people come to Christ in our church and at the altars. But really, God's plan is that the church take Jesus wherever we go. And the cutting edge is that we all are to represent Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm the door. By me ye shall go in and out and find pasture. And a lot of times I think when we think of the church, we ambivalent feeling about Sunday. You think after 37 years of pastoring, it'd be old hat to me, but I get butterflies every Sunday. I'm scared to death. And yet I would pay money. Oh, the board's listening. Turn off your hearing aids, folks. But I'd pay money to do what I do because I love it. And I love to come and worship. And I love to be together with God's people. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is here with us tonight. And as we enter in the place of worship, the sanctuary, Sunday, the Lord's Day, is when we are strengthened and when we are fed and when we pray for each other, at least it ought to be, not just coming together to say, what can I get out of this? But I live for the day when 50 or 100 people come to church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, gather together in the fold, and they come with their anticipation and say, Lord, what do you want to do in me and through me today? And as they look across the congregation, see each other, they pray prayers of love for each other until as we gather in, it's a healing place. And it's a strengthening place and a place of a blessing where we get literally charged with the glory and the presence and the joy of God. Jesus is at home when we gather. But the cutting edge of real ministry is when the entire body of Christ accepts the truth that we're all privileged to take Jesus Christ wherever we go. And we enter the sanctuary to fellowship and to worship and to learn. We need the food and the uplift. But I want to tell you that Jesus is also very much at home in the church tomorrow. And the church won't be together tomorrow. Some of you people are going to be in a business setting, punching buttons or doing whatever you do in the office. Some of you people are going to be in one of the most pagan places in America, in the American high school. God bless you. Hang in there with each other. Some of you people are going to be in the classroom. Some of you people are going to be, but we're going to be the church tomorrow. And the Lord Jesus Christ is very much at home when the church is scattered. And the work of the church is not simply that we can build up what we see in the church. That's good. We need new ways, though, to measure effective church work. Thank God for this building. Thank God for growth. Thank God for good offerings. Pray that we'll have enough by the end of this year to pay our budgets. But your ministry and your value to the church and to Jesus Christ is not limited to what happens when the church gathers together. In the ideal church, 100% of us gather. They should, when they can. And we gather in order to be fed and strengthened. But in the ideal church, a full 80% at least of the people that belong to the flock find their primary, most important work for Jesus not really connected with the, quote, work of the church. It's outside the walls, and it's very much the work of the church. But it doesn't have anything directly to do with keeping the machinery moving. That means about 20% of the body will have inward-directed tasks of teaching and administrating and keeping the wheels turning. As a matter of fact, just now, we're praying real hard. Some of these inward tasks are vitally needed. We need some help in our children's department. We need some help to keep the work of the church moving. But you hear what I'm saying? In the ideal church, at least 80% will be working for Jesus outside the walls. And this outward ministry will mean old-fashioned witnessing. That means learning how to bring somebody to Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Roman road, or being able to witness. But also outward ministry will mean witness in the broadest sense of the word. It means a total life involvement, letting Jesus loose wherever we happen to be. Not just a witness from, well, I have to do this or I should do this, but a willingness to speak out and connect what we know and what we've heard when we've gathered with how we are. I spoke this morning about a man named Robert Coles, and he went on to say about how he was convicted by a little girl and her witness for Christ and her love. And he told about how when he was an undergraduate at Harvard and he was studying helping vocation, he was studying to be a psychiatrist, studying philosophy, studying theology. And he said, I could go and write for 2 hours on ethics. I could get an A on my paper. And at the very same time, there were people that came in the dorms there at Harvard who cleaned our rooms. And he said, we called them our biddy, a hen. We didn't know their names. Some of these people were ethnic people. But he said, we treated those people just as though they were not people. He said, I'm ashamed of it now. I've been convicted as I've seen how Christ expects us all to be, in a sense, classless. We're not up here and down here. How do you treat the people that wait on you in the restaurant? How do you treat the people who come in to fix your office? How do you treat the people that are, quote, beneath you socially? Robert Cole said, I'm ashamed today that we could make work for these women and call them biddies and give them a Christmas gift, not even say thank you to them, and think that we were fine, upstanding Christians. And he said, no, I didn't connect what I knew and what I believed was correct with the way that I was living. You know, our witness is our total life. Our witness is our attitude to the people outside. Jesus has promised us this abundant life to the full in this context of both coming in and going out. I feel very keenly that I am of a certain generation, and it's hard for me to reach across sometimes the generations, and I may not be able to give you an assignment. I may not even be able to help you where you are at need, at least not in every sermon. We have all different kinds of people worshiping here. Every church has a diversity of people, but this church is really diverse. And yet, can't you see that maybe that's the very strength that God wants to use? Tonight we're the church gathered. But what a power our diversity is. Here we are tonight as one. We're not just here to receive for ourselves, but to bless and pray and edify each other. But while we're here tonight as brothers and sisters in the Lord, let's pray for each other and ask God that His body will be strengthened. And tomorrow we will still be the church, and we'll be bound together. We are His body. We won't see each other, but He's the head, and He connects us. And somehow, the way He ministers is in a thousand little coincidences. People just have a need, and their heart is hungry, and maybe they even send up a prayer, and all of a sudden there's a brother or a sister, a Christian that knows Jesus, and there's an opportunity. It happens so often, it can't be just a coincidence. But if we make ourselves available to God, I've made it my prayer for a long time. I don't always come through like a wish, but I try every morning to say, "Oh God, if it's Your will today, would You just use me somehow? Help me to say a word, even if it's just a word of encouragement." I think of how I've been lifted at times by just somebody's offhand encouragement. I think also how I've been knocked down at times. Somebody got up on the wrong side of the bed. Some brother, some sister, somebody belongs to Jesus. Got up on the wrong side of the bed, the selfish attitude, selfish mood. Wasn't thinking about belonging to the body. Wasn't thinking about others, you know, just selfish. And there was an opportunity for service, and instead there was a harshness or a... You know what I'm talking about. I hesitate to talk about Cindy Knox again, but a lot of you haven't heard about her, another generation. But about 12 years ago, maybe 14, one of our recent graduates at that time, gone into social work, her name was Cindy Knox. And on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, she gave a testimony something like this, and it was kind of an insight for her, and it turned a light on for me. It's the classic example to me. She said, "I'm a new social worker, and I'm working at least some of my day in the toughest parts of Boston." And she said, "This week I was up in a particularly ugly place, and I was shocked by an unspeakable case of neglect and abuse to some little children." And she said, in revulsion and in anger, "I cried out to God, and I said, 'Oh God, where are you?' And she said, "Jesus spoke to me, and He said, 'Cindy, I'm in you.'" And she says, "I got the message." And that's the secret of this abundant life. It isn't just gathering in and receiving and growing and becoming Mr. America spiritually, but it's gathering and then going out. And it's when we have this opportunity to be Jesus to somebody that His abundant life flows through us. There's no satisfaction in the world like maybe the thought that I might have been used of God today. And if we'll take these promises of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the door, the vine, not just in the context of what can this do for me, but in the context of being His body in the church of Jesus Christ, if we will come in by the door faithfully and we'll gather in His name to be uplifted, and then if we'll go out by that same door and be scattered into the world, Let the head tell the body what to do. And I want to tell you, these promises come alive. And we will know real life. And we'll have abundant life. And we'll be the church. And the world will see Jesus. Father, help each of us, help me tonight. Once again, these old promises, these promises that we've read so many times, help us to see that they're for us as we are indeed willing to let you live in us and through us. Bind us together. Help us to love one another. Help us to lift one another up. And then, Lord, scatter us tomorrow. We pray that you'll go with us wherever we go, actually into hundreds of different places, Lord. And we pray that where we are, you will be. Live in us that abundant life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.